Welcome to A World of Good podcast. My name is Andrew Gale, and I am sitting in my living room with two good friends, Tim and Jen Adams. I've gotten to know them very well in the last few months as they have moved from Canada to the United States during their support raising. And so we're excited to have them on the podcast today to share. We're enjoying a little bit of coffee on this cold morning. It went from fall to winter like in a snap here. And we had snow yesterday. I heard someone say 4 inches of snow. It's going to melt, but man, it went and it's November and it just snapped from fall to winter. So we're enjoying a nice cup of coffee from one of my favorite coffee places. My good friends, Jason and Abby Torgerson, sent this back with a team last year. It's from Turrialba in the hills of Costa Rica, not far from where they live, that we often go and visit this co-op coffee roaster that's just a few blocks from one of our Church of God churches, and it's delicious. It's a delicious, delicious cup of coffee, and grateful to get to share it with you guys this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So before we get started, it would be great just to kind of get to know you guys a little bit. So tell us about yourselves, your family. Let us know who Tim and Jen Adams are.
Yeah, well, we've got 4 beautiful kids, age 12 to 6. And we're from a little farming community in central Alberta called Paradise Valley.
So we've been in ministry for quite some time. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But yeah, we've been getting involved, doing some fundraising, and our family is all up in northern Alberta, which from small farming town. And Jen's family lives a bit further north than that at a lake in northern Saskatchewan. So
assume that I don't know anything about Canada, which is not a difficult assumption to make. And assume that Americans don't know anything about Canada, yeah. Also not a difficult assumption to make. Describe to us where you would be in Canada in a way that I could try to understand it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So if you know, lots of people know Banff, yeah. And I've heard of Banff. We are north, east of Banff, about 5.5 hours, I guess. Or if you go straight north of Great Falls, Montana, if you can put that, you can go straight north, I don't know, maybe 8 hours. That's where we live.
That is very helpful. I wish I should know more about Canada. I want to know more about Canada, Tim and Jen. I promise that I will learn more about Canada.
Well, we have a mission now for you.
Yeah, guys. That's right. Yeah. So before you guys started working with us at Global, what were you doing in Canada? What was life?
Our life before, we've both been in missions for the last 20 years with a group called Youth with a Mission, or YWAM as it's often known. My time in YWAM started at a campus that was called at the time YWAM Turner Valley, just outside of Calgary, Alberta. It's now called YWAM Sheep River. And my time started mostly working in maintenance. Then I did campus administration, but most of my ministry was in a group called the School of Biblical Studies, which is an inductive Bible study course. I spent about 15 years teaching and then leading that course there for the students that were coming through.
My journey with YWAM started in Australia, actually, in a place called Townsville, and I got involved there and worked mostly with their discipleship course, or their DTS, as it's known. I also worked with mentoring young leaders, and then we met in Canada at the YWAM ministry there by Calgary, and was involved in the campus leadership, more with their discipleship there, and various other roles, bookkeeping and all kinds of things.
So. I love that. Love that. Yeah, YWAM is an incredible organization. They do some great work. Just like all organizations, we love our acronyms. So like DTS, but my favorite is when people call inductive Bible study IBS,
yes.
Which I think is just, maybe that happens. Maybe that's what it gives you trying to go
right.
Through an inductive
yes.
Bible study. But so you're going to be serving with Global. You guys are in the support raising process, but for those who are interested, what will you be doing? Like, what will life look like on the ground? What are you going to do? Where will you be living? Because I know what the way that you're going to be working is a little bit different than maybe in our minds we think of a missionary going to one location, serving in this one place. But you guys are going to have a little bit of a different focus. Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Sure. We're going to be moving our family to Chiang Mai, Thailand. And we're going to be working regionally in 10 nations in Southeast Asia. where there's a Church of God presence. And so a big part of our role will be being a bit of a relational bridge, I guess you could say, connecting with those local congregations and the national leaders in order to partner with their ministry, however they want to reach out in a greater way. And we might be able to come alongside them in different ways.
So a lot of some of our work, it'll take various forms, really, however the local church wants. If there's a church that would like to start a youth ministry, we will come alongside them and help provide training and resources. If they're wanting to get connected up with a child sponsorship program, we can help be the bridge and the connection point, coming alongside, walking alongside them to really empower and equip them to reach out to their communities in the way that they feel God's wanting to lead them to.
I think that's so good. And I think that, you know, one of the things that we forget about, and it's true in the United States too, is that so many of our pastors are bivocational. And so the work of connecting, as important as it is, I mean, you think about some of these places where we have churches that may feel very disconnected from the rest of the region. Talk about 10 different countries where you're going to be making those connections. I bet a large majority of them are people who are bivocational or don't have necessarily the time to go and travel and visit and make those connections. And so having someone who is intentionally going in and trying to make that, I think, is a really beautiful and important piece of the work that happens globally.
Yeah, I think too, you know, a lot of times they don't have some of these pastors don't have the means maybe to make that extra trip internationally to a regional gathering or something like that. And so this is a way we can sort of reach in to what they're doing in their location and be a support for them in that way.
So. Physically present. I mean, not just in Zoom, not just in prayer, right, but actually physically present on the ground in their churches, which is incredible.
Yeah. So.
And some of the places are places that are in desperate need of feeling those connections. As you think about this next phase, what excites you about this next phase of ministry?
For me, and really this was, the potential of this is really what appealed to me when we first got interested in joining Global Strategy. Over the years, I've seen that some of the most impactful ministry we've did in the dozen or more trips to Southeast Asia, the most impactful ministry we've did is when we were able to come alongside and really empower the locals, the local Christians, to reach out in ways that they wouldn't be able to otherwise. And I think that's probably the part that would excite me the most is not specifically being the church planter going in, but being able to go in and equip leaders and equip local Christians to be able to better reach out to their people and be able to have long-term impact into countries where, due to government problems and different issues with that, war and things, we aren't able as foreigners to just go in and do, but I can equip and empower the locals who can go in safely and do their ministry within those areas. So,
I mean, I'm a real people person. So honestly, I just look forward to having friends who are locals. So whether that's someone at the market who I visit regularly and able to practice some of my language and things like that, I look forward to that. Or it's maybe a church location that we've been to several times and built a good relationship with individuals in that church and just having those personal connections.
So even though you're going to be traveling to 10 different countries, you're still planning to learn Thai.
Yes, we are.
And I think that's really important to recognize that, you know, I think sometimes we might think that this model of living in one location and serving a bunch of others means that you're not culturally invested in where you are. But what I hear is that you want to be culturally invested where you are, make those connections, but then also have this broader kind of regional ministry.
Yeah, I think, you know, language really helps you understand the culture.
Yeah.
And there are several, you know, churches in Thailand that we hope to connect with. But much of the culture is similar in some of the neighboring countries. And so learning that language is really important. And building those, you know, local friendships will help us understand the culture in a greater way.
Yeah. So for the last few years, you have been support raising across Canada and the United States, which is a huge undertaking. It's a huge undertaking for anyone, but especially for a family with four kids and thinking about the cost of flights, but then also the kind of ministry that you're called to, that the church needs in the region. It is a ministry of going and connecting, right? But by doing that, is flights, and that's travel, and those are expenses and visas, which just continues to compound all that has to be raised for you to do the serving, the ministry service on the ground. Tell me some about your experience fundraising. Like, what is one of the best experiences you have had as you've been visiting churches, whether in Canada or in the United States?
I mean, we've had a lot of really good experiences, and people have really open hearts. That people that we've talked to have really open hearts. But probably the best was I was traveling in between. I was away from home, and I was traveling between churches, just trying to knock on a few doors as I was going through some different communities. And there was one church I hadn't intended to go to, but I thought, I'm driving by, I should just stop and knock on their door. And I did, and I ended up meeting the pastor. And he invited me to come back that Sunday evening to share about their ministry. And he told me, you know, historically our church hasn't partnered with recurring gifts, but it's been more projects. But they'd probably be interested to hear from you. But anyway, I went back and shared with them that Sunday. And they, that night, signed on with us as a recurring partner, and it was just so, so encouraging that God opened that door, happened to open that door that time. So,
and I know another one that comes to mind was one again in the same state that we were traveling through. There was a church, it was a bit more out of the way, it wasn't super close, but we traveled out to it. And when Jen had a meeting with them, they said they had never had a missionary come to them before. And they were really interested, and they contacted us not long later and basically just asked, like, what are churches giving? They were interested in potentially joining. Yeah. And so we kind of told them the range of what churches that came in, and they jumped on, and actually jumped on at one of our largest partners after really not having missions giving in a very long time.
If you haven't done it, you don't understand the challenge of what you're going through, right? Mm-hmm. Like, walking through that and going and visiting people, knocking on doors, trying to get people to buy into the ministry that you're called to, right? I mean,
that's
like,
right, yeah.
You feel called to this, you know, God has called you to this, and yet you need people to come alongside in that for you. And that is a really challenging part of ministry, a beautiful part in the sense that you're honing what it is God's calling you to, because you're saying it over and over and over.
Yeah.
At the same time, though, that can be an exhausting and challenging experience. I am sure you meet all kinds of unique people in the midst of it, too. Do you have any funny stories or just unique stories of things that have happened in the midst of support raising?
I'd say the one that comes to mind the most for me is actually the one time that the pastor thought I was a homeless guy coming to beg at his door. We were in a town, we were speaking in a church. And while we're in an area, we often try to connect with other churches in the area. And we literally just drive around and see if we can catch pastors in the office. We were driving our 2001 Chevy Venture minivan with a rooftop carrier on the top because we had so much stuff for all six of us. I pulled up in front of this church and got out, and the pastor happened to just be leaving the door of the church. He looked over at our van, saw me getting out, and he was positive I was a homeless guy coming to give him a sob story of how I just needed a few bucks to get to the next town. So, and then I went up, and ironically, he wasn't far off, but I show up as a missionary wanting to connect in and share a bit about ministry. And after only a minute or two of talking, he's like, hey, do you want to come and share in my high school class? And it turns out he has one of his second jobs is teaching in a school, and he teaches a world geography class. And he was wanting to have his students in this Christian school start to do some missionary biography, missionary interviews and presentations. So he wanted to use us. So we actually got a chance the next day to go and share about our ministry in his class for these group of high school students. And since then, we've reconnected. I've shared in his church, and it's built into quite a good friendship from that.
We're not the strange homeless people that he thought we were. Yeah.
Yeah. Although you are driving around, I mean, you're not homeless, but you're certainly nomadic is the word you use.
Nomadic people. Yes.
That's right. And you are asking for money. I mean, the comparisons are not are not there, but I think back when people would travel across the country and carry with them, you know, like the what's it called, the yearbook for the Church of God, and stop in a town and look up a church and go there on a Sunday, or ask if there was someone they could stay with. And there were these natural connections that were made between Church of God folk as we traveled. And I think there's a lot less of that today. Mm-hmm. And I think that missionaries, you guys are some of the people that still do that in a way that's really beautiful and connects and can be these really happenstance, serendipitous moments of connecting with a pastor who now you've been able to preach and connect in with, that you never would have had that if you hadn't just showed up on their doorstep. And again, we have so many pastors in the U.S. that are bivocational. So sometimes calling and trying to connect in is really difficult.
It can be challenging.
Yeah. And so sometimes showing up is the way to do that. And sometimes you surprise them and scare them. And I love that. You know, one of the misnomers that people have about missions today is that as Christianity grows and expands globally, that we don't need missionaries. That instead, you know, we have locals on the ground. They're the ones that lead. And 100%, that's the way we function. You know, we're autonomous. Every church around the world in the 90 countries where we serve are all their own autonomous organizations. But I think that it's not that missions is going to go away, but that it's going to change, that we're going to move from this, you know, the U.S. sending folks to go and be kind of what we call first wave missions and evangelism, to this partnership model, like what you're describing, where we're coming alongside and working with the church. And that's a different model. It's a different kind of ministry. It takes a different kind of person, but it is as important, if not more important, to keep the church connected globally, yeah, of having those people doing that. All that to say, that's my long lead up to say, we still need people to go and serve like you. Mm-hmm. So if someone is sitting in a church, if someone is listening to this podcast as they're on a drive or on a run and they've thought about, you know, I've traveled, I've had that experience, maybe God's calling me to do that. What advice, what suggestions, what things would you say to them to encourage them to engage in global ministry?
I mean, I would say one thing I would say is that you're never too old or too young to get involved, not to be afraid of that. It's been a fairly common refrain, I would say, from what I've heard as we've been traveling, people saying, oh, I was interested in that when I was younger, and I didn't do that when I was younger. And think, the older you are, the more skills you've had, the more life experience, and there's a lot you have to give that someone in their 20s that is maybe has an easier time traveling, they don't necessarily have to give the same level of stuff that you do. So don't be afraid to do that. But also just reach out and start the conversation with us as missionaries when we're over there, with some of the locals that you get to know while you're traveling, and just start the conversation and see where things go.
I mean, I always like to speak to the young people because we worked with young people for many years. And I just say, if you have even an inkling to try it, don't hesitate to join a short-term mission or find out more information and just get out there and try it. Try everything and see how God might, form your calling and place a place or a people on your heart that you can have more to do with. And it might be in a different capacity than you think. Yeah. You know, you might not be that church planter necessarily, but that's okay. There might be a different fit for you. And I just say, yeah, get out there and see what's available. See how God might want to use you.
I think that's so good. And I love both of what you said. We bring skills to the work that we're doing. And I think sometimes we can be short-sighted on what skills are needed globally and think that, oh, we just need someone who is X. And we create this model of what a missionary is, someone that's serving globally, looks like, you know. And we often think it's like an entrepreneur who's a church planter, who's charismatic. And yes, those can be great skills and needed skills in certain places. But there are also people who don't come with those same kind of church planting skills or personality that are vitally needed on the ground. And honestly, if I can say this, are maybe more important in certain places, because sometimes the loud, charismatic personality is not going to fit in an Asian context.
Yeah.
That's going to be a very hard sell because that's not the way they function. That's not
right.
Cultural. And so I think sometimes we discount because we think, oh, I have this image in my mind of what a missionary is. And maybe that is true for a certain region or a certain place.
Yeah.
But every skill and personality is needed and can be used on the ground.
That's exactly right. I think God uses what he's given you in your hands.
Yeah.
And so if you just say, I'm willing, Lord, you might be surprised how God could use that to touch someone else's life.
Even if you're someone who just has a skill, maybe you've been working all your life and you think, oh, I've got some construction skills. As a bit of a story and example of there in northern Thailand, there's a children's home, and the leader of that children's home actually actively looks for people who have just skills, everyday skills, and he brings them in to train his youth as they're coming up through this children's home so that when they graduate, they've got skills. So he's brought in people who have welding experience, and that was what he brought in, taught some of the young guys, and now these young people who have graduated are starting their own welding business that they would never been able to do. So sometimes there are some skills that you need to preach, but there's other skills that are incredibly beneficial and just everyday skills that someone may have that they could get involved with.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. And if someone's sitting out there listening and interested, you can reach out to Tim and Jen. So if you go to our website, CHOG, C-H-O-G, global, all one word, chogglobal.org, you can go to our global personnel page and find Tim and Jen, or reach out to us at the office, globalstrategy@chog.org is our email, and we'd love to have those conversations with you. So I have one more question. It's a question we ask as often as we can. The name of the podcast is A World of Good. We love to hear what good God is doing in your world. So any stories you can share about the good God is doing?
I mean, when we were reflecting on this question, I think the biggest change in a good way that we've seen in our family is just, I'll say, the readiness of our kids to hit the mission field. As a parent, you're always a bit nervous, you know, what will this uprooting mean for the life of my child? But I think, you know, there's been a growing excitement. Some of our most nervous children or most reluctant children have really come around and have a bit of excitement. They have things they're looking forward to in the move. And it's just been a real treat and a testimony to the work of the Holy Spirit in them to be ready to go.
And there's also just building an excitement in some of our kids, especially our second youngest. He's kind of more of the evangelist of them. And he's all excited talking about asking if we can make like sandwiches to take out to the poor people around Chiang Mai, and really has a heart just to get involved in that. So we're looking forward to that. And it's something I would say that's probably the thing that comes to mind the most as to the good thing God has been doing.
I love that. I love that. And I love your kids. They're fantastic. And it's been fun getting to know them. As I said, you guys being here, I know has been, I'm sure has been challenging for them being far from family because you guys live so close to family there. But it's been a gift for us to get to know you guys and get to know your kids. And Tim and Jen, thank you so much for this time today, for sharing. And we look forward to what God has in store for you guys in the future in the Asia Pacific region and Chiang Mai and then across those countries across Asia. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to A World of Good. A World of Good is a podcast production of Global Strategy and Church of God Ministries. Our theme song is Colorado by Leo Flores. If you want to join the conversation, visit us at Twitter, at A World of Good Pod, on Instagram, A World of Good Podcast, or visit our website, chogglobal.org/A World of Good. And join us next time as we share more stories of good from around the world.